Mensch, Natur, Einklang. So leben wir im UNESCO-Biosphärenreservat Rhön. Lernt mit uns die Menschen kennen, die jeden Tag dafür sorgen. In Bayern, Hessen und Thüringen. Zusammen sind wir alle die Biosphäre Rhön.
So, hello everybody, I'm Julia Rösch and we are here for a special edition of the Biosphere Reserve Rhön podcast because it's our first issue in English and that has a special reason as well. I am here with my colleague Axel Arteaga from Peru. He worked with us in the Rhön for 1 year now. Welcome, Axel. And very nice that you have some time for the podcast as well.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here in this podcast for Rhön.
Okay. He's from Peru, from the Partner Biosphere Reserve BOI in Peru. Can you say just a few words about your home region, the Biosphere Reserve BOI? Because a lot of people have no idea about it.
Well, the Biosphere Reserve Oxapampa Xanicayanesha, or BOI, is located, in fact, in the middle part of the country, in the jungle part of Peru.
Mm-hmm. There's a mountain area? How can we... Do you have an imagination for us how it is?
We cover a huge range of mountains and also flat terrains because we go from 200 meters above sea level to 4,000 meters. So there's a huge difference and we have a lot of biodiversity there.
I think it was something completely different when you arrived here in Germany last year. Can you remember what was your first impressions, your first thoughts when you arrived here in Oberaisbach last autumn?
Yeah, I remember the first time that I was here, Sabine, a colleague, picked me up in Bad Neustadt. And our way to Bad Neustadt to Oberaisbach, I get so impressed about this wide open landscape of Rhön. So that was so awesome for me because there was a sunset, a beautiful sunset on the landscape, and this captured my mind.
Did you have any expectations regarding your stay in the Rhön? What was your idea? What you can find here or what you will meet here?
I had the opportunity previous to travel from Peru to meet virtually with Doris and Sabine. And they also asked me about it. What are my expectations? And I remember that I answered that I had decided not to create an image, not to expect something to create in myself. So I decided just to live this experience with an open mind and like an open heart to learn about it and to see what is the reality of this bioreserve of Rhön, of the population, of the city. So that is so impressive and that was so great for me.
So what was your motivation to become a Weltwurz volunteer?
Well, I in my bias reserve, I always try to work for young people, try to work for open new opportunities for young people of population. So I decided to take this opportunity with EcoSelva NGO because they had some projects in my bias reserve and they were able to contact the Natua Park here in Rhön and they just asked for a position. So I decided to do that because I wanted to work in the coffee, in the partnership between Rhön and BOI, and also to try to open some spaces for volunteers here in the Biosphere. So that was part of my motivation, and also because I was deputy manager of my Biosphere and I received a volunteer from Rhön, and I realized this important work, this important aspect to involve young people in this new experience, just to grow personally and professionally.
So you made good experiences with volunteers from the Rhön coming to Peru and then said, okay, now I can go and see the other part of the partnership, right?
Yeah.
Is there some unforgettable, like the sunset moment or experience afterwards you kept in mind because you had a whole year here in the Rhön with all different aspects? Something else except the sunset you've seen on your first day?
I seen some tradition seeing some festivals, mm-hmm. for example, the Oktoberfest here in mm-hmm. Weisbach, mm-hmm. or the Flaschig in Bad Neustadt, and some mm-hmm. of these small festivals in small towns are more valuable for me than mm-hmm. the bigger ones, mm-hmm. because you can see, in fact, the real tradition, mm-hmm. how this tradition it's going mm-hmm. according the, mm-hmm. through the years. So that was so important for me.
Yeah.
And also what I keep in mind is about all the colleagues here in the office, because I spend time with all of them in mm-hmm. different ways, in different moments, in different levels. Mm-hmm. So I learn a lot of them. I learn a lot just talking mm-hmm. or sometimes not talking without talking with them mm-hmm. and participating or not participating. Those things are so great for me because I can see how they work, how are their motivations, and that was so inspiring also for me.
Mm-hmm. So it's about the people, it's, the
exchange. Yeah, it's about, I think BioSurreserve is mm-hmm. about life, it's about people, it's mm-hmm. about how they interact with each other mm-hmm. and how they try to connect again, to reconnect again with the nature mm-hmm. just to get the sustainable development process. So
right.
that's really nice.
Right. Is there anything here you really missed from Peru?
Yeah.
I imagine.
I think, and I would say food.
Food.
Peruvian food. I really like Peruvian food. I try a lot of food in different countries, in different parts. But for me, it's my hometown, and for sure, I really miss food.
What special is there? What kind of food is there?
Two dishes, I could say.
Yeah.
Ceviche and mm-hmm. lomo saltado.
Ceviche is fish?
Yeah, ceviche is fish. Is raw fish, in fact, with some lemon and onions and something like that.
Uh-huh. That's very rare in the world, I know.
Yeah. And lomo saltado is made by meat and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to cook something for me here, mm-hmm. but I couldn't find the ingredients.
Yes, raw fish is hard to find.
Yeah, it's really hard to find, but I think this part. I love German food because mm-hmm. in my hometown we have a German colony and mm-hmm. we have a lot of kind of German food there,
mm-hmm.
like a schnitzel or mm-hmm. strudel, for example, mm-hmm. but with different components. For example, here is so common apple strudel. And we have banana strudel there.
Banana strudel. So that's the Peruvian adaptation of Apfelstrudel.
Correct.
To be very correct, it's a southern German, maybe Austrian dish.
Yeah. A mix of that.
Very famous.
Yeah.
And like banana strudel. Wow, that's interesting. I have to try.
Yeah. So that's what's so curious also for me and for some people that listen to this part of the history of my
mm-hmm.
city
mm-hmm.
because we have a colony since 1854
mm-hmm.
and people get awesome when I told them about it mm-hmm. because they can't imagine about this
mm-hmm.
and we have a lot of tradition, dances and food mm-hmm. and Kleidung, for mm-hmm. instance. And
I think it's very, very interesting that you find some German roots within this colony, but the Peruvian adaptation of it, so these traditions are moving forward. They are just conserved, like in a box, and nobody can touch it, but it's living, right?
Yeah. And for sure, this adaptation is due to also for indigenous people,
mm-hmm.
because we have two indigenous people there mm-hmm. living there,
mm-hmm.
the Yanishas nation and the Ashaninka nation.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning, they had to adapt each other to the same mm-hmm. territory
mm-hmm.
just to get along each other. Mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. is so awesome mm-hmm. also in my BioSurreserve, mm-hmm. this adaptation mm-hmm. throughout our culture.
Mm-hmm. How are these different nations living together in BUI? So there's one village from these, one village from the others, or they all mixed in town? How do they live side by side?
At the beginning was in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like living separately each mm-hmm. other, but according across the years, they just put together in mm-hmm. some villages. Mm-hmm. They are mixed together. They had some kids and mm-hmm. they just grew up mm-hmm. with another mentality mm-hmm. just to, we are just a nation here in the Bayou's Reserve and we have to work together because this is so important to spread our knowledge, traditional mm-hmm. knowledge, and to get better mm-hmm. our landscapes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have their own language, right?
Yeah. These Janeshas and Ashaninkas have mm-hmm. their local language called in the same way, Janesha and Ashaninka.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a particular language because there are not too many, programs to preserve this, mm-hmm. this kind of language. So nowadays we are struggling with it mm-hmm. to just to keep the culture, to keep mm-hmm. the language and to try to spread it to the new mm-hmm. population.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite hard to do that because there is not a national program to cover it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is this similar to anything we can imagine, to any language? Or do you know the roots of these languages?
Yeah.
Where they come from?
Yeah. In fact, they come from Awahunas, kind mm-hmm. of Awahunas. That mm-hmm. is another indigenous people in Peru. Mm-hmm. But there is still some problems in the nation, mm-hmm. in Peru. There are some projects, but with not huge results. But there are a lot of NGOs working on that, mm-hmm. just to tracking the history of mm-hmm. some cultures or some indigenous people, because they usually spread their knowledge by talking.
Mm-hmm.
But there is not like a something write down. A history mm-hmm. right down that
oral,
we can get
oral history,
oral history are knowledge, spread yeah. knowledge mm-hmm. spread
mm-hmm.
so new generation sometimes are afraid of their culture
mm-hmm.
are ashamed of their culture, but at least there are some programs, local programs, that try to cover it, mm-hmm. try to manage all these stuff.
Okay, let's hope the best that it's possible to conserve it, and not only to conserve it, but to live it, continue living it. Okay. Let's step back to Germany. Do you personally, in this year, when you stay with so many Germans, have you acquired some habits, some German, typical German habits that you will take with you?
Yeah, sure. I don't know how to say that. But I would say patience
mm-hmm.
or punctuality. Just for instance, for example, in Latin America,
mm-hmm.
it's common for people to forget about punctuality,
mm-hmm.
forget about the time
mm-hmm.
that you have be punctual in some mm-hmm. points and some workshop and so mm-hmm. and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's like all running well.
Mm-hmm.
The time is the time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, for example, just to take a train or a bus,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning, it doesn't matter if the train or the bus was late for 10 minutes, for example. It's
mm-hmm.
what's so common for me, like
mm-hmm.
Latin American people, just mm-hmm. to wait. And mm-hmm. it's so common. I can wait
mm-hmm.
for two more minutes. But after some 2 months, I think, when the train was just 1 minute late,
mm-hmm.
I was like impatient. Like, oh my God, what is the train?
Oh, that's sad. So you feel more stressed by time here, right?
Sometimes, but I get worried to the further connections.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, yes. But I think that was awesome. That is something important. To maintain and just to spread, for example, in Peru, because
mm-hmm.
time is important. Time is just to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think about, we have a lot of time. We can just spend time doing nothing or doing an important thing, but we can take advantage
mm-hmm.
of these short
mm-hmm.
periods of time.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are also helped to keep our environment, to keep our nature here. Did you see any aspect of environmental protection that merits to be exported? Is there something?
I like too much the way in the Bayou's Reserve involve people with this project of citizen science.
Mm-hmm.
how you work with working groups and how you involve the population in these working groups.
That's what our colleague Tina Bauer does, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And I get surprised when population wants to be volunteers to help some projects of the Bios Reserve or the administration. They just attend some meetings, some workshops, they learn about the project, they learn about a specific topic, and then they say, ah, I could help in this way, in this project. Please take me in account. I can help you, my territory. That is something great for me. Great to know, because that is not common in my place.
That people come and are getting experts of some species, some
For example,
and then keep them in mind to protect them.
That's good, because I always say you take care of something if you know about something. The more you know, the more you take care of. So
that is a good. During my years here, I learned a lot about insects I've never seen before, and my colleagues showed me as well what variety we have, and I never thought about it. And it's so with all the particular things you're just passing by, you do not take in mind.
You know nothing
about it. You do not think about it, but when you once got in contact, you learn about it, you see it everywhere, and you see it in every day.
And you can realize the connection between others' factors, how they are important for the environment and other things.
Yeah.
Another thing that also like here is the organic production of bioregions. This national strategy or biostrategy to turn on and this organic production, the conventional to organic, that is also so great.
That's a big structure, big organized structure.
Yeah.
And this, the other, on the other side, these are the small things, the everyday things.
Yeah.
And do you have something for Germans to learn? Have you some practices of sustainable development in Peru that we should adopt here in Germany?
Well, it's quite difficult to say, because it's usual, like Europe is the role model for some countries. But I would say, for example, in Peru, there is like a traditional part for farmers, for traditional and smaller farmers, because there is a practice that they exchange, for example, some seeds to preserve genetically some species. I don't know if it's occur here, but in Peru, it's quite common for the Andes part, for example, because in this way they can protect a specific species, for example, of potato, and they can mix some crops. There is not like here, like a bigger extension of some products. And for a small farmer, I think
it's but that's a very, very important and very discussed aspect you mentioned right now. Who is owner of the seeds? Who is owner of the agrobiodiversity? Those who cultivated this for centuries, the families, or just the those who made some patents on some crops? And this is widely discussed still in Europe overall. And there are initiatives to keep the traditional seed and breedings. We also want to work in favor of that. But on the other hand, you have to have special seeds to give it to the market to sell it, to make other products out of them. And I think it's not finally discussed up to now how to behave with these special seeds. Yeah. Of course, the breeding industry does a lot of effort and also earns money with it, but this is not the whole aspect of seed owning and who is it belonging to. Yeah, this is a very important thing, and I hope it's kept like that and cultivated in Peru still for a long time, because this is the seed bank we have for the global community, and not to lose it also these varieties of agrobiodiversity. That's very important.
That's true.
Is there any initiative to help those farmers to keep on like they always did, so that they can share and exchange their seeds? Or there are what's going on there in the moment?
Yeah, in my bios reserve in BioAI, there are some projects about it. There are some projects about organic production certification that involve also keep some species, maintain these traditional markets and this traditional exchange of seeds. Yeah, just to maintain this diversity of genetically diversity of some species.
Yeah, very, very important. Let's take a look for the future. What are your next steps? So your time in Germany is coming to an end at the end of August. What are your next steps and what are your plans then?
Well, I think I will be involved in bios reserve at least for 1 year more, because nowadays I'm part of a working group for UNESCO and we are working on the drafting for the new map strategy for bios reserve and the new action plan for the global bios reserve.
So and it's on the global level, right?
Correct, on the global level. And one of my goals is to come back to Germany and study a master degree in Eberswalde University.
Wow.
A master called Bios Reserve Management. I think I involved in bios reserve since 2017. So practically all my life is about bios reserve, sustainable seed processes, and I think this is
can bring a long experience to Eberswalde as well. And they are bringing up the management class to how to manage bios reserves. Yeah, that's a very good thing. So just to mention, you are preparing a conference, right? For those who didn't get right, what's really the very next step is you're preparing the next MAP conference, right?
Yeah, part of that. We are working now. The group is composed by 15 people around the world, by regions, and I'm part of the Ibero-MAP from Ibero-America. So now we are working on the outline of the structure for the new the strategy, like the vision, the objective, the goals that bios reserve needs. And after this first step, we are planning to launch a really huge and global consultation, because it's important to know, in fact, what bios reserve needs, what is in the ground for the administration, for the population. It's not just to thinking about in the global level, because it's really, really different when you ask something, for example, in the government level, and you ask the same question for the managers. So the next step in this process is a huge consultation regarding to the MAP strategy, for sure, and involving national committees, involving local level, regional levels. And also we are helping about the further the next World Congress of Bios Reserve that will take place in China into next year.
Next year. So still a lot of work to do, but you're perfectly prepared with your long experience and long... Yeah, it's kind of a life theme to work for biosphere reserves.
For me, sometimes I get nervous because one thing maybe is the language barrier.
Yes.
Yeah, everywhere I think this is a problem, but I always try to do my best, try to learn of everything, of everyone. So that is a good, also for me, experience.
Maybe it's, again, the German impatience.
You learned
a lot. You did large steps. We tried to do this interview in English because it's still the most fluently language we have both in common. My Spanish is very poor, and you learn a lot in German, but maybe not to do an interview like that. So next time we meet, we do this interview in German, right?
For sure. I learn a lot of German. I understand a lot of when people are talking, when are a group of people talking German, but I have some problem when I need to speak.
Yeah.
It takes too much time to form some sentences.
Yeah, that's quite normal, but don't be too impatient.
Yes.
I just have a last question for you. Do you have any advice for any young people maybe listening that are considering to do some volunteer service abroad?
I would say just do it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we lose some opportunities just because we are afraid of something. Mm-hmm. Just because we are sometimes expecting about the future and we don't live the present. We don't know about what we could do. So I think just do it, because life is... You have just one life. Mm-hmm. You have just one opportunity to take some decisions. And depend of your decision, your life can change. Mm-hmm. So I think now young people needs to be prepared, needs to realize what they need, what the society needs, what their families need, because they can help their countries, their cities, and so on. Yeah, I think we have to stay flexible, to have this open mind to receive information, to learn of everything, to try to connect with people, to try to make these connections. Yeah, it's so important, because the society needs new people with new idea, needs to spread this information, this connection. And sometimes young people is asking for something to do, but we need to be prepared like a young people when this opportunity comes to us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.